Accession number 18827, Reel 4.
Pinniger, Reel 4. You said you went back to support company.
Yeah, I went back to support company, and I was there when the Hook of Holland got flooded very, very bad, that when they burst the dams there, and all as you could see right in the Hook of Holland was the roofs of houses and people floating about on rafts and one thing and another. Anyway, after a very long battle and that there, the CO sent for me one day and he said to me, he said, Pinniger, I said, sir, he said, I think you've seen enough of him, Resort, but I've got another job for you. And I said, yes, sir. He said, support company's kitchens has been it with a direct hit. They got no catering facilities, they got no nothing. I'm sending you down to sort out a kitchen, a field kitchen, for support company. I said, yes, sir. He said, you'll get all the help you want, I'll see to that. So I went down and took over the kitchen of the support company for some time, and they didn't want the idea on me to be just like a regimental cook when there was Army Catering Corps people in those days. They just come on. So he said to me, he said, okay, they sent out some noise from the Army Catering Corps to give me a field kitchen test. And I'd done that. I come through grade one on that, and they transferred me for the last about, I suppose it was just but a 12 month or less than a 12 month, they transferred me to the Army Catering Corps. But I still served with the 2nd Gloucester Battalion, so as far as I'm concerned, I was a 2nd Gloucester Battalion man, not an ACC man. But the last 12 months I'd done in the kitchens.
But when you went back in November 1944, were you in any fighting before?
Oh, yes.
Can you describe the fighting that you were
in? Oh, yes, Essen. A very bad battle at Essen there. And
at where?
Essen. Is it Essen? Is it Essen on there?
No, it doesn't say Essen. What
it
says is it? Elst.
Elst. That's what I meant, Elst. At Elst. That's right, at Elst. We were at Elst. We had a very bad do at Elst. And it was very cold. It was very cold as well. Snow was everywhere. It's one of the coldest winters they ever had out there.
Can you describe the fighting at Elst?
Yeah, well we were fighting in the snow. A lot of hand-to-hand fighting. There was like what they call town and street clearing, building clearing, where the Germans and all that were hiding.
House-to-house fighting?
Oh, yeah. House-to-house fighting.
How was it done? How did you capture a house?
Well, we just had to go in there. It was good, of course. All as we had then, we didn't have light machine guns like Bren guns. We either had Sten guns or a rifle. I just used to barge our way in and search the house out, really search it out. If there was anyone there like we thought was suspicious, and then we just captured them. Just captured them and just marched them away like. If you will notice on that list there, there's lots of things there that you just took it for granted. In life you don't take much notice of it. But there was one German officer there we captured that was... we only found it by chance, house clearing. We found that he was living in Holland, and when we went down into the cellar, we seen a picture of the same man we had, which was an SS man there, and he was kidnapping all the young boys under a certain age and sending them back to Germany for training for military service for the Germans. We had that one. That was one thing that we done. There's another thing we done there. We found a laddie that was buried in the ground there all through the German occupation. We helped to make sure his parents knew they were all right. And when we were clearing another place out, we come across children, and my Netherlands language isn't good by any means, but I could understand what they were saying. And this young girl and a young boy said to me that they were crying, and they could see we were English soldiers. I suppose they didn't know they were afraid of us. They thought we were like the Germans, you see. They were afraid of us. And they turned around and said, like, that they're... We asked them where their parents were, and they told us it was Nijmegen. And I got a wireless truck that night on permission. There was one going for the Nijmegen. I was going to take two children back to my mum in Nijmegen. And I took them back to St. Anastrat in Nijmegen. I gave them back to St. Anastrat in Nijmegen. And I gave them back to her mum and her sister, her own daughter and son.
Were they lost children?
No, they were really captured and drove out with the Germans, I suppose. But anyway, they were drove out by the Germans. Anyway, they didn't know where they were. They were drove out by the Germans, more or less captured. They was going to take them away. And we took them back. I took them back myself personally. I used to write to these people. I haven't wrote to them for a long time now.
Can you tell me more about this boy who was hiding in the ground?
No, I can't tell you too much about him. There's a little note on there, I think. Is there a note on there?
But did you see him yourself?
Yes.
How could he hide in the ground?
Well, he hid in a pit alongside a well or something. And his mother hid him all through the German occupation.
Was he Jewish or what?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't involved with too much with it. All as I know, we got the boy out, and we got the boy out and told him he'd be all right to stay above ground anymore. We don't know. We just moved on. We didn't.
And what condition was he in when he came out of his hiding place?
He didn't look too bad, but he was. He was a whitey yellow. He's pale, whitey yellow. His skin was sort of more or less like this colour, and he didn't have a lot of go in him. I don't know what he did if he was in a ruddy hole all that time, but he didn't. But he was very nervous. He was afraid to come out.
How old did he look?
Oh, he looked an old. He looked damn sure older than he was. But anyway, I suppose he was about. Altogether, I suppose he was about, I suppose he must have been about 28, 27, 28 when we put out, I suppose. Must have been. He was quite going on, but he hid there all the time. I suppose his mother hid him somewhere about when he was about 10, save the Germans captured him, I suspect. They were 10 or 12. Then you get the war on, that's some way of saying another 5 or 50. He must have been about 17 or 18, but he looked a lot older than that. He looked much older than that. His hair was long. His hair was long, like, you know. I didn't see him. Only seen him for a few minutes. We were gone. We didn't...
How do you feel now about having served in the Second World War in the Gloucesters? How do you feel about it now, about having served in the Second World War?
Well, I don't know. All as I don't know. I mean, I've always been a man for right is right, queen and country. And if it come to the push again, I know it wouldn't be any good. But if it come to another battle like that, even at my own age now, I would still volunteer to do some occupation for our own country, I would. I would still do something for the country. Which I do now. I do a lot now for the community. I'm even a welfare officer now for the Royal British Legion, organiser, Devon County man. My life is Legion, Royal British Legion. My life is Royal British Legion. I got about 5 offices in the Legion altogether. I'm life vice president of my own branch and club, past president. I'm a founder member of the first British Legion club they ever had in Newton Abbot. I'm the secretary of the group, which is 16 branches in this area, from Woodicombe in the Moor to Sheldon. And I'm a Devon County representative on the Devon County Welfare Committee. And that's it. That's enough for me. And plus, I'm a member of the Royal Antediluvian Order of Buffaloes, which I've missed a Monday night meeting for perhaps for a few days of sickness for over 40 years. But that is my life today, doing welfare work for other people.